everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Orire podcast, the podcast that tells African stories. I'm Halima.
And I'm Ceci. And today we're here with our guest, Harry, to talk about the migration story of the Mijikenda. So, hi, Harry. Thank you so much for coming. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Habari, Harry.
Thank you so much for having me. Habari, yes, thank you for acknowledging our language, Kiswahili. You say habari, I would say in response I'm supposed to say. But we don't use habari. Normally when I'm in the, luckily at home, we just say shikamo, marahaba. This is because we're Costerian. So we're a bit, our Kiswahili is a bit more concentrated.
Oh, that's really interesting. Cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So can you tell us a bit about yourself, your name?
So I'm from Kenya. I'm called Harry Katana. I'm from Kenya. I'm an artist. I mostly do abstract art and I write occasionally. And I'm 26 currently. And I've been following Orire's page for a while now, about a year now. And I think I was interested in one of your podcasts. I saw a post maybe on Instagram. That's how I found you guys, I think. Yes, it's Instagram. And yeah, so I liked the post. I followed the post and I think you emailed me about maybe a possible podcast session. And today's topic for that particular session is about the Mijikenda migration from Central Africa to the current present day location.
Oh, that is so cool. It's so interesting that you've been following us for like a year now.
Yes.
Oh my God.
I'm so happy.
Yeah.
Right. For me, I like to follow a lot of African based pages because I have an interest in African stories as well and how they're being told. So for me, they're of keen interest to me. I'd say that.
Oh, that's really cool. Oh my God. So let's just like dive right into the topic. So what does Mijikenda mean and who are the Mijikenda people?
The Mijikenda people are a tribe from the Bantu-speaking community. The Bantus came from Central Africa, basically what is known as present-day Benin and Nigeria. So this is according to the history we're taught in school, by the way, and also according to local relation. So they migrated from Central Africa and as one group and then split around Central Africa into two. One group went towards the south, so they intermarried the South Africans and they became the South Africans. And the Bantus that went towards the east went ahead and split on in Kenya. So the Mijikenda are amongst one of the groups that split from the groups that moved towards East Africa. So the two settlement stories we have. So should I just dive into any?
Yes, please.
Okay. So we have two stories. There's one that the Mijikenda just originally just settled. After splitting from Central Africa, they just came and settled to where currently they are. And they initially were tribes, but later split. The Miji means city. City, Miji. Kisema Miji, when you say Miji, you mean a city or a tribe, Miji. Because the nine tribes, Kenda means nine. Miji Kenda, nine cities. Yeah, so nine cities. But think of the cities as tribes, not as actual cities. But they're also cities. Because each tribe lives on its own, it's like a settlement and it has like a huge barricade. They live in the middle of the barricade, like it has like a wall. So the whole community lives behind the community wall, literally, in the middle of a forest. Because where we stay, there's a lot of forest also as well. So you'll find like every forest has its own Miji. Miji is basically the tribe city, and they're nine. So we're good up to there, yeah?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Another name for Ameji is called Akaya. Akaya, we call them Kaya also. So the Miji, the tribes in the Mijikenda are the Digo, Duruma, Giriama, Kambe, Jibana, Chonyi, Rabai, Kauma, Ribe. They're supposed to be nine. Are they nine?
Yep, I think you've mentioned nine. I don't want to mention them again because I may just not say the names right. Oh, but you can also say them again just so that our listeners can make sure that they've got them.
Okay. The nine tribes are the Digo, Duruma, the Giriama, the Kambe, Jibana, Chonyi, Rabai, Kauma, Ribe. Nine. So those are nine tribes. So Miji, Kenda, nine tribes. Each tribe lives in a kaya. All the tribes have their own kaya or cities, so which are surrounded by forests. And in these kayas, various activities happen. We have like a central shrine. It's also called a kaya as well, yes. So the kaya has all the secrets of the tribe, the traditions, basically all the rituals that would be carried out in the community are stored under the kaya. So it's very sacred, and not everyone, only the elders in the tribe are allowed access to the central kaya.
Yes. So it was kind of like, it was kind of like a decentralized arrangement in that they were all nine individual tribes, but then like some of the tribe's elders had control or had access to the more central government, which makes sense. So I actually have a question. What triggered the migration in the first place? I'm sure you were going to get to that, but you know, when tribes migrate, usually there's some kind of reason. They may be fleeing a conflict or a war or a challenge or, you know, famine, something like that.
Okay. That's why I say there are two stories. In the first one, it's just they just moved there according to the first story. But then in the other one, they were pushed from, they settled in the coastline of Somalia, along the coastline of Somalia, in a place called Shungwaya. So while they were there, they were forced to move southward because of conflicts with the Oromo. Oromo is a Cushitic group, pastoralists. The Cushitic among Oromo. Yes, Oromo and the Gala. So, you know, the Bantus, Kushites, and Nilotes, yes? The tribes in East Africa split into those major groups. The Kushites, the Nilotes, and the Bantus. So the Kushites were along the coast of Somalia, and due to constant war with the Mijikenda were forced to move from Shungwaya to their current location. The first tribe that was rumored to have moved are the Digo, and then the other tribes now followed. The other tribes now followed after Digo moved away. Now they settled to their present day location. The languages, the sub-tribes, all the sub-tribes within the Mijikenda can understand each other, basically. They all have dialects. They all speak different dialects of the same thing. And because of constant intermarriage with the coastal, when the Mijikenda came to coast, there were already other people living here. The Arabs were here. The Persians were here already by that time. So because of constant intermarriage, we formed also a new tribe with the Arabs and the Asiatic communities that were here. We formed a new tribe with them. They're called the Swahilis. So they're basically Afro-Arabs. Yes, they're Afro-Arabs, and they speak Kiswahili, what you guys know as Kiswahili now. The intermarriage between the Arabs and the Mijikenda produced Kiswahili.
Oh, that's really cool.
Because Kiswahili, yeah.
No, go ahead. Yeah? Go ahead.
Kiswahili is basically an intermarriage of Mijikenda dialects in Arabic, in Arabic words. So basically, anyone who speaks Kiswahili can understand both Arabic to a sense, to a degree, and can understand also Mijikenda because it's not far off from the parent's language.
Okay. Yeah. That really makes a lot of sense. So besides the like intermarriage and then like the intersection between like the two languages, what other ways like the meeting of these ethnic groups like shape culture and like traditions of the Mijikenda people?
Okay. Traditionally, the Mijikendas were hunter-gatherers and farmers. So interactions between the local communities and the Mijikenda resulted in the Mijikenda engaging in what's it called, trade, sea trade along the coastal line. They'd give the produce that they've grown on the farms to the Arabs, and the Arabs would give them spices and fabrics they've gotten from overseas, and they would exchange in barter trade, because in those times there was no money. So, and also influence the more, because of proximity with the Arabs and Asiatic communities, you'd find that because of proximity, most of the Mijikenda also eventually began to leave the Kayas and convert into Islam. And also because there was also influence from missionaries, white missionaries as well. So most of them also have become Christian and Muslim. A very few percentage are actually still practicing African religion, very few percentage. But the Kayas are respected places of sacred worship, and they still exist until today.
Wow, I find it really interesting to know that they still exist today. And I really think it's interesting how basically what a culture is now is a combination of the factors that influence them along the way. So basically they may have been one way, and then along the way, as they interacted with other cultures, things changed and they evolved, and their culture has evolved now. So with the way that the Mijikenda culture is now, with all the evolutions and with all the influences that it has had, are there any kind of unique cultural practices and traditions that you can pinpoint and say, you know, this is Mijikenda, or this is from Mijikenda?
I'd say it's different because, most of the, in a sense, we only have, we might have changed our names and who we believe in, but our traditions still remain the same. Our dressing still remains the same. There are festivals that, how do I answer this question? I need a specific, are you asking about like specific marriage rights, or are you asking it in general? I don't understand the question.
It's in general. So marriage rights would be a good way to kind of illustrate the point. Or any other.
Okay. So basically, kuhasa, in the marriage rites, we have the Mijikenda they drink palm wine a lot. So basically, when they're organizing for a wedding, the father to the bride would be given lots and lots of palm wine. And because it's obviously an African wedding, so there's a lot of singing and dancing involved. And the father to the bride would typically take some of the wine and spray it through his mouth, basically drink some of it and then basically spray it over the bride and the groom as they're being covered. Before the bride is revealed to her husband, multiple women are covered in lessos. We have traditional clothing called lesso. It has writings on it. They normally have writings like tribal references or riddles, tribal riddles written on them, and patterns. They're called lessos, mostly worn by women. So the lessos are draped over the women, several women, and the bridegroom is asked to choose his bride among the women. And so for every woman, if he doesn't pick his bride from the women he's been told to pick his bride from, every time he misses, he pays a fine. Could be either a goat, several goats, depending on if he's rich. And it goes on until the bride is found. And after the bride is found, she and her husband are blessed by the bride's father. with a spray of mnazi. We call it palm wine mnazi here in Coast. Mnazi. M-N-A-Z-I. Yeah. So that is basically a marriage rite. The Mijikenda tribes also participated in slavery. We were part of the Coast was largely part of the slave trade, of the East African slave trade, because we were much closer to the Arab-speaking countries. So they would come take slaves from place off the coast and take them to Zanzibar, all the way to other Arab-speaking countries. There are slave ports that are found along the coast where slaves used to be held. When you're studying history, you only hear about West African transatlantic slave trade, because that was the most prominent one, and that was the one with the most significance, because it reduced a lot of populations in West Africa. But also slave trade did happen in East Africa, and it did happen along the coast, especially by the Arabs. Yeah. There's a place in Zanzibar called Bagamoyo. B-A-G-A-M-O-Y-O. Bagamoyo. Basically means to leave your heart here, because where you're going to go, there's no need to have a heart, because you're just going to get hurt. So you leave your heart here and all your emotions here, because where you're going, basically there's no hope. That was then for the slaves. The place is called Bagamoyo. That's what the place means.
Okay, that sounds very heartbreaking.
Yeah. So the amongst the Mijikenda, the Giriama are the most populous. Most of the other tribes have intermarried into other tribes, and the Giriama are the most populous, and that led to them being the face of the African resistance. You know, when the British came to Africa, they went about colonizing every part of Africa. So they would meet resistance in different places. And one of the places they'd meet resistance with would be the coast, would be the Giriama. There's a very famous woman. She's called Mekatiliwa Menza. She's one of the Giriama. She's a female. She fought the British. She fought the British. She organized protests. She organized men, despite being a woman, and men would listen to her. She was jailed twice. She was taken, like, I want to give you an estimation so that you understand. I need to open a map of Lagos so I could give you an estimation of the distance. Nigeria. So she was taken from the coast, and she was taken hinterland into the mainland, far, far away. And she supposedly escaped and came back after 6 months. She walked all the way. So let's say from a coastal city like Port Harcourt, yes, and she was taken to Abuja. She was locked there for several months because she was leading the resistance against the British. Apparently when she died, the ground broke and she was swallowed, according to myth. She never was killed. The ground split and she was swallowed into the ground, according to local legends, but I don't believe
cool.
that.
We should do an episode on just her. Can you say her name again, actually?
She's called Mekatiliwa Menza. Mekatiliwa Menza. She's from the Giriama. The Giriama have very strong women. So they also had another one called Mepoho also as well. Yeah.
Thank you for introducing us to these. I'm going to actually look into them. Maybe we should do a strong African women series, or like African women who made impact series or something like that. And we can talk about her as well.
Yeah.
It'd be very interesting.
Yeah. There's also another tribe, but they're not Coastarian. They're called Kikuyus. They live in central Kenya. They used to have a matrilineal society where women would rule over men. It was rumored that their leader, called Wangwa Makeri, used to sit on men's backs and they would serve her. So they decided to topple over
the
women.
I really love that.
they decided to topple over the women by making all the women pregnant so that they could gain the control.
Ha! Huh.
What? Huh. I couldn't really think of any more specific questions that, I don't know, Halima, can you think of any questions? Because we're already over 20 minutes.
Yeah, I don't have any pressing questions to ask. This was very interesting. Thanks for sharing. Sorry. Is there anything about the Meji Kendar people that you'd like to tell us about? Any other information? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Not anything about them per se. It's interesting because I actually can't speak Meji Kendar. Okay, I can listen. I know, like, you know how, like, when your African parent talks to you, you understand what they're telling you.
Yeah.
Yeah. But actually speaking the language, my parents never actually spoke it to us when we were growing up. So we'd only hear the help or the, when we went back to the farm, speak to us in the local, to us in the, in English. Mm-hmm. So I think it's, and like, learn our languages, especially for us. I'm trying to break that. I don't want to get to, kids don't even understand what is Swahili, because language, you know, the more you speak, how you retain and yourself as well as a person. So yeah, I'd say.
Okay, so can you tell share your social media handles with the listeners, like, where do you want us to find you? Where can we find you and stuff like that?
Okay. So basically, you can find me on Instagram at @ari_katana, @ari_katana. And I'm basically, I'm a creative, an artist. I like to paint African images. I like to, I'm basically very versatile. So what needs to be done will be done. Yes. And in the most African, most authentic way. Yeah.
That is really cool. Thank you so much for coming. Asante sana.
Nashukuru. Nashukuru means I'm grateful.
Oh, okay, great. Alrighty. Thanks everyone for listening.
Yes, any last thanks word, for listening. Bessie?
Okay.
No, just watch out for the next episode and make sure to do all the things that you do, you know?
Yeah. Alrighty. Bye, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening, guys. Make sure to like, subscribe, follow, and tell your friends. To stay updated, you can also follow us on social media. On Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, we are Orire_Africa. On TikTok, we are Orire Africa. And on YouTube, we are Orire. Orire is spelled O-R-I-I-R-E.
You can also find us on our website, which is orire.com, where we have articles about African mythology, history, and food. Contact us via our website or social media if you'd like to come on the podcast. We'd definitely love to have you. If you want to support us, you can do so by subscribing to our Patreon, which is patreon.com/orireafrica. And all of this will be listed in our description box below. Thank you.
Thank you.